Good. Well, we're thinking about now is the time for the big invite. This is the second of a series of three. And now is the time to share the good news, was last week. Now is the time for the big invite this week. And now is the time for signs and wonders in outreach is next week. And so that's our three. Next week, after the newcomers lunch at 2:30, we're going to meet here. I'm just making this up on the top of my head. But we're going to meet here because what I'm going to encourage us to do is to go out on a treasure hunt. And no, it's not that sort of treasure hunt. Some of you are thinking, we're going to go and find gold. We're going to go and find nice things hidden. What we're going to do is find treasure that is the ultimate treasure, which is people, and pray for people. We're going to seek God, that he would speak to us and give us people that we would then go and pray for and share with. So that's what we're going to do. So I'm suggesting 2:30. I think that'll be enough time for the newcomers' lunch. Is that about right? Yeah, is that right? 2:30. So 2:30 here, we'll meet next week if you're up for that. And you'll see why that kind of fits with what we're doing next week as we look at signs and wonders and into outreach. Okay, we've already really thought a little bit about the way in which getting an invite can give you an excitement. There's a sense of anticipation when you get an invite for a party or something. And if that's never been something that you've had, at the end, you're going to get an invite. So everyone will get an invite by the end of this time. And we'll come to that. But invite can come in many ways. Ernest Hemingway tells the story of a Spanish father and his teenage son. The relationship between this father and son became strained and eventually shattered. When the rebellious son, whose name was Paco, a common Spanish name, ran away from home, his father began a long and arduous search to find him. As a last resort, the exhausted father placed on an ad in a Madrid newspaper, hoping that his son would see the ad and respond to it. The ad read, "Dear Paco, please meet in front of the newspaper office at noon. All is forgiven. Love, Father." As Hemingway tells the story, the next day at noon, in front of the newspaper office, there were 800 Pacos, all seeking forgiveness from their fathers. An invite given. All is forgiven. God wants to give us an invite. And Jesus is here teaching about the radical new kingdom. And it doesn't work in the way people expect. People expected it to just come down, a set group of people that were in the family, stay in the family. That's the way it goes. And Jesus was throwing all this upside down. And people were like, what is going on? Because he was talking about a kingdom that happened in a different way, that people gained access to it in a different way. An invite was passed out to people. And this invite we read about in Luke 14. So I'm just going to read the passage here, and we've got to come up on the screen if we can. It's a blue slide. Then he turned to the host. "When you put on a luncheon or a banquet," he said, "don't invite your friends, brothers, relatives, rich neighbors, for they'll invite you back, and that'll be your only reward. Instead, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Then at the resurrection of the righteous, God will reward you for inviting those who could not repay you." Hearing this, a man sitting at the table with Jesus exclaimed, "What a blessing it will be to attend the banquet in the kingdom of God." I think he was sort of thinking, you know, I'm trying to get a gold star from Jesus. There's quite a few people that did that when they were kind of like around Jesus. They kind of thought, I'm going to get a bit of kind of praise because I'm doing it right. And this guy's like, you know, it's going to be so great. And then Jesus tells him this story. Jesus immediately replied to this story. "A man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servants to tell the guests, 'Come, the banquet is ready.' But they all began making excuses. One said, 'I've just bought a field and must inspect it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I've just bought 5 pairs of oxen. I want to try them out. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I now have a wife, so I can't come.' The servant returned and told his master what they said. His master was furious and said, 'Go quickly into the streets and alleys of the town. Invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame.' And after the servant had done this, he reported, 'There's still room for more.' So his master said, 'Go out into the country lanes, behind the hedges. Urge anyone you can find to come so the house will be full. For none of those I first invited will even get the smallest taste of my banquet. Salt is good for seasoning, but if it loses its flavor, how do you make it salty again? Flavorless salt is good for neither for the soil nor for the manure. It is thrown away. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. That's maybe not at the bottom there, but I'm sorry about that. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word that we've been circling around today, this great invite. Lord, I pray that you would help us just in these next few minutes just to think about this and receive what you have for us from this passage. Lord, what you're trying to say to us about this big invite that you give us in your name. Amen. Amen. The idea of a banquet or a great feast is contained throughout the Bible. We see it time and time again. In the Old Testament, we see pictures of people having great banquets. When we were doing Daniel, the different kings of Babylonia, through these great banquets, it was a picture that happens in the Bible. We see time and again. In Psalm 23, verse 6, we see about you set out a feast in front of my enemies. So the idea of this banquet. And then in the end of our Bible, we read in Revelation 19, as Stephen has already alluded to, there is the wedding of the Lamb. And at the wedding of the Lamb, there is a big banquet. And at that feast, actually the enemies are no longer there. They are vanquished. They are destroyed. That's the banquet where you are totally with God and there is nothing bad there. Banquets up to that point have a mix. So this idea of banquet, of celebration, of party is contained within the Bible. It's not something that we've just kind of dreamt up today because we fancy putting a few balloons up and we kind of wanted to play cool in the gang. The idea of party is and celebration is in the Bible. And the idea of it is that actually God has such goodness for us and such goodness that he wants us, calls us to have and to be part of, that it can be seen as this amazing banquet. Jesus says, I've come that you might have what? Boredom? A bad life? Nothing? It's life, life in all its fullness. That was an ongoing life, a life that didn't stop, a life that sent a fullness of all that God has for us. It was lavish. And then we see these passages in the New Testament which just speak about the lavishness of God. It says this in Ephesians 1 verse 7, we read this. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. He's so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son, forgave us. He showered his kindness, as one version puts. See what great love the Father has lavished on us. God keeps lavishing his love, his presence, his goodness upon us. So there is this sense of overflowing of the more of the kind of all of goodness of God. So the invitation is not, oh well, it's an okay invitation. This is what I'm trying to get you to understand. The invitation that's sent out from God is one that is great, that is amazing, that is tremendous, that is so exciting. And we need to get a hold of that first, if you're a Christian today, in order that you're going to be able to share this with others. Because if you don't think it's very good, then you're not going to go and share it with anyone. So first, we need to see it as really being lavish. When I was younger, my grandparents turned 80, and it was my granny's 80th. And we were so excited because we so rarely, because I was one of five boys, we would eat so much that my parents couldn't really afford to ever take us out to a hotel. It would just bankrupt them. So my grandparents invited us out to this hotel. We were so excited. It was the Old England in Windermere in the Lake District. 5-star hotel. We were so excited. We thought, this is going to be amazing. None of us had much at lunchtime. We all went on runs because that's the sort of thing that we did. We went on runs. I still do, by the way, but anyway. And went on a run, and so we were really, really hungry. We arrived. We were so excited. And then we saw the menu, and we thought, this is going to be amazing. So I started off, and I thought, I'll have pate because that'll be quite nice and some toast. And honestly, the pate came, and it was like a smear on the plate. I could see the plate through the pate. One square of toast was placed on my plate and a tiny dob of butter. It's like, okay, that's the starters. It's got to get better from here. Main course, I will choose beef. You can't go wrong with beef. you're in the Yorkshire Dales or in the Cumbria, you must get a decent bit of beef. Honestly, I could not have cut it thinner. The piece of beef and the potatoes, they've even managed to cut those in sections and place them tactfully round the plate. It was like, what the heck? Anyway, then it came to the pudding. I thought, gatto, come on, a good square of gatto. And again, gatto slice that you could see through was placed upon your plate. By the end, we were like, what is this place? And from then on in our family, if any one of us gave a very small amount, we called it the Old England slice. Because nouveau cuisine had hit, and nouveau cuisine was not aimed for the Bennett family. It was not a good idea. God is not like that. He lavishes his love, his goodness, his riches on you. He is not Old England stingy. His love, his presence, his riches are for you. He is amazing, and he invites you to a party that is amazing. His love that goes on and on and on. His riches that goes on and on and on. And the invite is given out. There's no excuses. Here it is. But the excuses were given, wasn't there? One guy says, I've bought a field. One says, I've got 5 pair of oxen. One says, I've just got married. What excuses are they? They're kind of pathetic. They're non-excuses. But there are excuses to show what people value. What do you value? What do you value today? Do you value what God has for you, or do you value the stuff around you? The call of the kingdom is to value what God has for you. When I was a 13-year-old, I was at this Scripture Union camp, and the decision was there very clear. Would I choose to become a Christian or not? And as I looked at the people's lives, I saw them and I thought, these guys are having an amazing time and they're Christians. But I thought, maybe leave it, because maybe there's some stuff I want to do between when I make my decision that God wouldn't be too happy about. So I kind of leave it. But this excuse started to kind of break down, because I was like, hang on, but they're having such a good time. What they've got, I want. And so my excuse broke down, and I decided, no, this is what I will have. And I will accept that invitation. And so as a 13-year-old in a little dark tent in a field near the River Feshy, near King Craig, near Aviemore, I knelt and just said yes to Jesus. And then there was a choir of angels, and a big light broke down into my tent, and it was amazing. No, it wasn't. Nothing like that happened. It was just a dark tent with a paraffin lamp with 4 other guys that were in it. But I tell you, everything changed from that day. Everything changed from that day. I knew at that day that I decided for Jesus. I accepted that invitation. And there is an invitation for all of us to accept. And if you haven't accepted that, then I want to encourage you, accept that invitation today. But what happens is the shift of the invite in the story is that then the poor, the crippled, the blind and the lame, they're given an invite. Generosity of God would say, come and be part. And do you know what? There's going to be surprises in heaven. There's going to be people there that you're going to think, what? Really? But God is in the business of inviting lots of surprises. Just recently, I've got a colleague who's been organizing a wedding and getting everything ready. But here's a little story. And we are going to go a little over today, and I apologize about that, but we've had a lot of different things going on. So just stick with me. And I believe that what we've got to cover today is important, and you will get your coffee. And you will have your little time to chat, but keep buckled in for a few more minutes, okay? Give me 5, five or a bit more, and then we'll be good. That's like the preacher who says, right, actually, do you know what? I'm going to hear here all day. What about you? No, anyway, I'm not going to do that. Here's a little story. Accompanied by her fiancé, a woman went to the Hyatt Hotel in downtown Boston, ordered the meal. The two of them pored over the menu. They were looking to get married. It was 1990s. They both had expensive taste. Sorry, I'm going to just move through. So what happened was these two had decided on this very expensive hotel. They were like, yep, this is where we're going to go. This is what we're going to have. It's going to cost a fortune. But what happened was the fiancé decided, actually, do you know what? I'm not going through with this. And they booked the Hyatt Hotel. And so the angry fiancé returned to the Hyatt to cancel the banquet. and the events manager could not be more understanding. The same thing happened to me, honey, she said. Told the story of her own broken arrangement. But about the refund, she said, you got bad news. The contract's binding. You're only entitled to $1,300 back. You have two options, to forfeit the rest of the down payment or go ahead with the banquet. I'm sorry, really I am. It seemed crazy. The more the jilted bride thought about it, the more she liked the idea of going ahead with the party. Not a wedding, a banquet, mind you, but a big blowout. 10 years before, this same woman had been living in a homeless shelter. She'd got back on her feet, found a good job, and set aside a sizable nest egg. Now she had the wild notion of using her savings to treat the down and outs of Boston to a night on the town. And so it was, in June of 1990, the Hyatt Hotel in downtown Boston hosted a party such as it had never seen before. The hostess changed the menu to boneless chicken in honor of the groom, she said, and sent invitations. Slightly. Anyway, she sent invitations to rescue missions and homeless shelters that warm summer night. People who were used to peeling half-gnawed pizza off the cardboard dined instead on chicken cordon bleu. Hyatt waiters in tuxedos served hors d'oeuvres to senior citizens propped up by crutches and aluminium walkers. Bag ladies, vagrants and addicts took one night off from the hard life on the sidewalk outside and instead sipped champagne, ate chocolate, wedding cake and danced to big band melodies late into the night. That's a picture of the banquet that God wants to throw and the sort of people that he wants to invite and to say, come along. Come and be part of this. God's invite. And so for all of us, that is the offer that's given to us. But not only that, that is the offer that we're called to give to others. Yeah? So it's not just about what we receive as the big invite, but it's also the invite we're called to give to others. So as we go about our business, do we talk church up or do we talk church down? Do we talk God up or do we talk God down? What are we like as we offer that invite to others? We're all called to be witnesses. Some of us are evangelists, but actually all of us are witnesses. Witnesses to what God has done for us. Empowered by the Spirit of God. And we need to pray to God that he would give us more opportunities, that we might be witnesses, that we might share God's kingdom with others. And I just want to do just a little bit of a quick illustration here. So, Karen, can I just ask you to stand over there, right over there by the fish? Annette, can I get you to stand over there? And Karen, you can stand facing us, but Annette, can you stand facing away, please? And what I want us to think about here is the fact that everyone that we're inviting is at different places. And some have their backs turned on things of God. They want nothing to do with the things of God. And they don't know God. They don't say yes to things of God. And then there are others, if we're putting a scale here, that know God, love God, and are on fire for God. Hey, and Ryan, come here. And so what our job is to do, and Annette, we're going to just leave there at the moment. What we're to do is our job as Christians, if you just stay there, Ryan, I'm going to kind of move you up, is to spend time just sharing Jesus with people. But sometimes it might just be being loving. And this affects Ryan. And so he makes a little bit of a movement that way. Because he goes, why did you do that? And he said, well, because that's the sort of thing Jesus does. And then Ryan starts thinking, well, you know, these Christians aren't quite so weird after all. And he takes another couple of steps. And then Ryan has a bit of a situation where something happens in his work that's really tough. And I come along and I say, well, actually, I've had a situation like that that was really tough. And I found God really helped. Could I pray for you about it? And Ryan says, yeah. And then he moves a little bit further. And then I say to Ryan, hey, there's a games night at church coming up, which is at 7 o'clock on the 10th of November. I say, come along, Ryan. You must come along because games are good and God is good and you can learn about God. And so Ryan comes along and thinks, these guys are actually all right. He moves a bit further. And then he thinks, well, we stopped back there. And then he thinks, and I turn to Ryan and I say, hey, Ryan, what about Christmas coming up? You wanna celebrate Christmas, really? I mean, I know you like Santa and you like that stuff, but you know what? There's a real message about Christmas. So Ryan comes along to a Christmas service and he hears all about God. And guess what? At a Christmas service, he decides to become a Christian. And so he takes another step that way and becomes a Christian. It's brilliant. Now he's got a long way to go because he's still got to learn about God and everything. That's my illustration done. Thank you so much. Brilliant. Sorry, Annette, having to stand there all the time. Don't worry, we'll get on you. We'll work on you next time. Okay, so actually inviting and moving people along. Okay, and just one other illustration now. And this is the first and probably the only time that I'm going to give you a formula in church. And here we go. I need somewhere to put it up. Yep, so here we go. This is very technical. No, it's not going to work. Ah! Put it on the bucket, yeah. I don't know if that can be seen on the online, but anyway. Right, this is a formula for you, okay? Because if you're gonna do that moving, then you're gonna need some things. How do you be effective? Okay, I'm gonna give you a formula and then I'm gonna put it into picture language because I prefer pictures, okay? Some of you are shaking your head, nodding your heads. Some of you, you know, you like formulas. Algebra, this is algebra for you. Okay, HP, which is mean high-powered Christians, HP, not HP source, but HP, high-powered Christians, close proximity, that means you're close to people that don't know Jesus, close proximity. If you never hang out with people who don't know Jesus, you can't make a difference, okay? So you need to be in close proximity with CC, which is clear communication. You need to be clearly communicating, like I did there, like just saying, you know, I'll pray for you because, you know, God can make a difference in this situation. And then he heard an experience of the message of Jesus. Clear communication leads to maximum impact. Boom. Okay. Or boom. There we go. Okay. And if you prefer it in picture language, fire, being on fire, salty. So don't lose saltiness. You're round people. You're salty, okay? Not conformed to the world. Different, but in the world. With light, clear communication equals a harvest. Oh, come on. Come on. Now, how good's that? So fiery, salty, with lots of light, it's going to equal a harvest. And what's the love heart around it? Well, if I have my pen, which I don't know where it is because it is never about a sense of I've got another. It is always a sense of God's love. God's love for everyone. Because he loves everyone so much. God so loved the world, he gave his only son. And people need to hear that. God loves them so much. So here's my love heart. Yes. Okay. So there you have it. How to be effective so that you can be a good inviter. So for some of you today, it may be that you need to receive this invite for yourself for the first time. But for many of you, it is to take this invite out, to move people along that and to be that fire, fiery, salty, and lighty. I don't think you can have lighty, but anyway, full of light. That there might be a harvest. Brilliant. Okay. You're right with that? Yeah. Yeah. Anyone excited? Yeah. Come on. Because we need a bit of excitement. You know, the world is in a mess at the moment, and we need to be about good news. And we need to be about bringing good news to people that so desperately need to hear it. Okay, let's stand up. Let's just pray. Lord, we've heard a lot today. We've had a lot of stuff going on. But Lord, I just pray now that Holy Spirit, you just, as we stand now, that you just minister to us. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. And we're just going to invite the Holy Spirit just to come and fill us. And last week we prayed for anointing, but we want to just take this further. But then we take it into action. That we be part of an invite to others.
just get a sense that some of you kind of like think fear, fear, fear just pops up in your mind. And that's the enemy. He just wants to say, you can't do this. You're going to say all the wrong words. It's going to mess up. That's the enemy. Look to God and move in faith, not fear. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. And Lord, so I just pray for each person here, Lord God, that you would remind them that they are invited, that they are so loved by you, that they are so amazing to you. And Lord, that you've given them the task of sharing that with others. But you do not send us out on our own, but with your Holy Spirit and your help. And so bless us as we do that in your name. Amen.